Today's shiur is Masechta Makis Dabeis. We begin by Ezer Hashem Yisborach, Masechta Makis. And the first subject that we will discuss in Masechta Makis is a concept that we've discussed previously, particularly in Masechta Sanhedrin, the concept of Edom Zomimim, which means that if two Edom come and say testimony about a specific event, another two Edom come and say there's no way you possibly could have witnessed that event, Imanim Hoyisem, you were with us elsewhere, the halacha, the Torah says, is that the second pair of Edom are believed. Furthermore, the Torah says that Vasisim Loi Kasha Zomam Lasis Lachiv. The punishment for these Edom Zomimim is that whatever they wanted to cause should happen to the person that they said Edus about actually will happen to them. And our Mishnah begins with discussing situations where the regular halachas of Edom Zomimim cannot apply. The Mefarshim point out that if our Masechta is Masechta Makis, which as we're going to learn in our Masechta, the halachas of Makis, that if somebody doesn't have, when somebody does an Avera for which there's a punishment of Makis, shouldn't have our Masechta begun discussing halachas of Malkis? Why does our Masechta begin discussing halachas of Edom Zomimim? So one explanation is, as I just alluded to, and the Gemara will say it, because it's actually a continuation of the subject that we discussed in Masechta Sanhedrin. But then I saw another pshat. The question is, why is our Masechta called Masechta Makis? It really should have been called Masechta Malkis, because Malkis is what's given to a person, which is the subject of our Masechta. The reason is because the Torah uses the words V'hoye im bin Hakois Harosha. So the Torah, when it discusses Malkis, uses the word Makois, not Malkis, and that's why our Masechta is called Masechta Makois and not Masechta Malkis. And as we will soon, Mitzvah Shem, learn, the pasuk of V'hoye im bin Hakois Harosha is a pasuk that plays an important role in understanding the halacha of our Mishnah. That's why our Mishnah, which is the first Mishnah, Masechta Makis, which is based on the pasuk of V'hoye im bin Hakois Harosha, begins with this subject. The Chidah, interestingly, says that the word makois is the gematria hirurim, thoughts, and that one of the schools, one of the benefits we have in learning Masechta Makis is that it helps us save us from hirurim ra, from having bad thoughts that a Jew is not supposed to have. Even though the Mefarshim point out, I saw the Shurim Tzion Balacha discusses that really is the power of Torah. So why is Masechta Makis singled out, that it has this power? So he explains that sometimes a person learns, but he doesn't learn with the proper kavana. Such a learning does not have the ability to fend off hirurim ra'im. But Masechta Makis, the limud of Masechta Makis is such a powerful limud that it has the ability to prevent all types of hirurim, even if a person's learning is not up to the madrega it ought to be. So begins the Mishnah, Ketzer Edom Nasen Zomimim. How do Edom become Edom Zomimim? Meidim Anu Bishplani, Edom come and they say, we can testify about a person who is a Kohen, Shuben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that this person, there was a person who was a Kohen, that we know the halach is that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha or Chalutza. And if a Kohen does marry a Grusha, his child is a Cholol. Our Mishnah teaches us that if somebody comes and says that I'm saying testimony that so happened, even though, as we learned a moment ago, the din of Asisim Loikash Zomam Lasis Lachiv ought to teach us that the person should get the same punishment, and therefore he should become a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. And Rashi explains that our Mishnah is talking about that the Edim are Kahanim. We're declaring them a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza would have relevance, or the Ritva says it could even be, not like Rashi explains, that our Mishnah is speaking specifically about Kahanim. It's even speaking about Yisraelim, But the Mishnah would be teaching us that if this Yisrael, these Edom, had relations with their wives would become possible to marry a Kohen. Or perhaps even if the Yisraelim, again, the Meiri explains we don't have to limit our Mishnah to speaking about a situation that they're saying, that the Edom who are saying testimony of Kohanim, it could be that the Yisraelim, and that the repercussions of Kasha Zomam Lassus Lachiv would teach us that their children would become disqualified, their daughters would not be allowed to marry Kohanim. Teaches us our Mishnah, that, and the Mara of course will explain why so is the Din, that we don't say, as is normally the case, based on Akasha Zomim Lassus La'achiv, Ein Oimim Yassiz Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, we don't say that they become a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Tachtav, Ela Loik Aboim, they get Malkus. Rashi says that the case is that they come and they say that we know that this woman was a divorcee, this woman who married a Kohen, we could testify she got divorced, and therefore the Kohen who married her was not allowed to marry her. Why does Rashi speak that that is the case? So the Pnei Yeshua explains, because in any case of Kasha Zomam, as of Edom Zomim, they're going to have to say, their testimony has to speak about a time and a place. They have to testify that a certain event took place at a certain time and a certain place. And the way such a testimony can happen in this case is by saying that we were at a certain place when this woman got divorced. And of course it turns out that it's not true. And here we don't apply the din of Kasha Zomam, rather get Arba Malkus. There is a Machloikus Rishonim. When our Mishnah speaks about Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, is really the same din by Ben Chalutza as by Ben Grusha. The opinion of the Rambam is in fact that the Ben Chalutza is a Kohen may not marry a Chalutza Midaraisa, and therefore the din of our Mishnah speaks both to equally to Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. There are many Rishonim. The Ramban and the Ritva say that they don't have a din of that really the Isser of a Kohen to marry a Chalutza is only an Isser Midrabanan. And really, therefore, our Mishnah should not have mentioned a Ben Chalutza. The reason the Mishnah mentioned Chalutza, even though it's only Asim Drabanan, because it's very common in the sugyas that speak about Ben Gerusha, that a Ben Chalutza travels along in discussions with a Ben Gerusha, even though in this case they're not really identical. There are, however, other opinions that say, even if we'll follow the opinion of the Ramban and the Ritva, that a Ben that Isav Chalutza is only Midrabanan, still here the Edom, by wanting to declare this individual as a Ben Chalutza, are saying testimony to his detriment, because he, at least Midrabanan, could not be considered a Kohen, and therefore even if it's only an Isav Midrabanan, the din of our Mishnah ought not to change. The Ramban and all the Rishonim ask a very simple question. Our Mishnah seems to be focusing only on the fact, can we or can we not call these people a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, these Edom that wanted to identify this individual as Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. But actually, there's also a financial element to this testimony. Because by saying that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, he's not entitled to Truma, he's not entitled to Matnas Kahuna. So why is it not viewed as any testimony where the Edom Zomim are trying to cause a financial loss to the person that they say Edus about, that they have to pay for that loss? So I saw a number of terutzim in the Rishonim. The Ramban answers that it's only a grumma. And the only time we apply Kasha Zomam is when it's not a grumma. Here it's a situation of a grumma. The Ritva says that it's impossible to figure out how much truma, how many matnas kahuna this individual would have received, or will he lose by being the kileir of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. And anything that can't be clearly identified, we can't apply Kasha Zomim to. Other Rishonim suggest that the primary purpose of their testimony is to declare the individual Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, which is something that we can't give a reciprocal punishment for. and therefore we give him Malkus, as our Mishnah and Gemara will explain. Yes, as a secondary effect, there is a financial loss also, that this individual would not be entitled to get Truma or Matnas Kahuna. But as the Rishonim debate, others say that isn't the main thrust and the main purpose of their testimony, and therefore we don't view that as what's happening here. Other Rishonim, the Meiri, explains, once there's a Chiv Malkus, as our Mishnah indicates, for having declared him a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, we know the halacha is that we never give a person both Malkus and a Chiv of payment. And once they're being Chayiv Malkus, as our Mishnah teaches us, they can no longer be Chayiv payment for the loss of Truma or Matnas Kahuna. Continues the Mishnah, Midim Onab Ish Ploini Shuchayiv Golus, if they say testimony that a person had killed someone B'Shoigig, which the punishment under those circumstances is a Chayiv Golus, and then it turns out that they're Edim Zomimim, we do not say that this, that the Edom Zomim should go to Golus in his place. Ella loike aboyim, they get Malkus. Tosfos asked the question, how could we have ever assumed that they should be Chayiv Golus? Maybe the person they're saying testimony about could get up and say, I didn't kill him B'Shoigig, I killed my victim B'Mezid. And if that would be the case, there wouldn't be a Chiv Golus. So why isn't that the reason, as Tosfos, that they don't get Golus? So before we go to explain Tosfos' teretz, the Mefarshim asks, why do we need that the person who they're saying testimony against should get up and say it? Why can't we just rely on the actual fact that that could always be, that the, how could the Edom ever know for sure that it was B'Shoigig, that the murder was B'Shoigig, supposed murder was B'Shoigig, not B'Mezid? So Tosfos answers that isn't the question, because it's referring, so to that question, before we go further, the Mefarshim say that we always assume that the murder was Shoigig rather than assuming that the murder was B'Mezid. But to the basic question, why can't the person who they said testimony about get up and say that it was Mezid, and therefore certainly there is no Chiyuv Golus here? There are two truths the Tosfos offers. One Teretz Tosfos offers is that referring to a situation that we see that it was an accident, that the knife just fell out of its handle. Or another pshat is the fact that this person didn't say so, didn't respond this way, that the Edom said that this happened B'Shoigig, and that the person who they testified about didn't get up and say differently, is the biggest raya that it was indeed B'Shoigig, not B'Mezid. And now the only issue is that they're Edom Zomimim, and as our Mishnah teaches us, Edom Zomimim don't get Golus. But before we go further, there's a fundamental need to understand, and this is one of the keys to understanding the sugya that we're about to learn, the Ezra Hashem Yisbarach. And that is, our Mishnah teaches us that under these circumstances, the Gemara is going to add a number of other circumstances. The regular halacha of Kasha Zomam Lasis La'achiv doesn't apply, but rather there's a Chiyuv Malkus, and as the Gemara will teach us, the Chiyuv Malkus is because of the Pasuk of Lo'sana Bereicha Eit Sheker. The question, however, that the Mefarshim discuss, and I'll say it this way, because this is the way Tosfos says it, is that we have a much more fundamental question. We know that throughout Shas, there's halacha that Eidus, she'ata yochel azima, if we have an Eidus that we can't fulfill the requirement of kashizomam lasis lochiv, is not a qualified Eidus. And therefore the question here is, if, as our Mishnah clearly indicates, that in the cases our Mishnah mentions, we cannot fulfill Kasha Zomam Lasis Lachiv, it should remain an Eidus She'ata Yochel Azima, and should not be considered a valid Eidus. So Tosfos answers two Terutzim. One Terutz Tosfos suggests is that we are fulfilling Kasha Zomam. The Torah is teaching us that in this case, you know how you fulfill Kasha Zomam? You can't give the actual punishment that these Edom wanted to cause. Malkus is the fulfillment of Kasha Zomam. Another Teretz Tosfos gives is that the Torah is mechadish that not in every case is there a din of Kasha Zomam. Sometimes there's a din of Lo'sana Bereicha. So as the Achronim, Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, and many other Achronim understand the two Terutzim of Tosfos, the two Terutzim of Tosfos are essentially arguing, how do we look at this situation that we're giving Malkus instead of Kasha Zomam? Is Malkus a substitution for Kasha Zomam? Or is Malkus here teaching us that here the din of Kasha Zomam doesn't apply? And there are very many nafkaminas lahalocha. One of the interesting nafkaminas lahalocha speaks to one of the fundamental issues in understanding the entire concept of Edom Zomamim. We know, as we've learned many times, that Edom Zomamim chiddushu, that the entire concept of Edom Zomamim is a chiddush. Why is it considered a chiddush? Because it's very obvious. Why do we believe the second pair of Edom who say Imanu Hoyisim more than we believe the first pair of Edom who say the testimony? But actually, as we will learn in our Masechta, there are other chiddushim involved in understanding the concept of Edom Zomamim. And one of the chiddushim is that Edom Zomamim get punished without hasra. That means normally in order for a person to get punished for an aveira, he has to receive proper hasra. Here, even without the proper hasra, he's going to get punishment as for Edom Zomamim. And Rav Shimon Shkop asked the following question. The reason why the Torah all over requires hasra before a person indeed gets punished, one is because a person has to recognize before he does an act the repercussions of what he's doing. But there's another reason Rav Shimon points out, and that is that we give him hasra that he should know that it's not just a shayig, that it's amazing. Otherwise he could always claim it was a shayig here. So ask Rav Shimon, yes, Edom Zomim is considered a very serious aveira, and therefore because it's considered such a serious aveira, the halacha is, we have to know, and we have to warn these Edom that they should know the difference between shayig and mezid. What about that reason? Says Rav Shimon, and this is based on a Rambam, says Rav Shimon, a chiddush, that Edom Zomim represents a terrible breakdown in how a person acts. That a person who has no connection to this testimony should come to Bezdin and say testimony about something that he had no relationship to is a horrible sin. And therefore, all of the regular halachas that we apply to anyone else will not apply to this individual. And therefore, we will punish him even if he doesn't have any asra, and even if he didn't recognize the difference between shayig and mezid. There's an interesting vart from the Noida Behuda. The Noida Behuda, following the second opinion of Tosfos, that says that the cases of our Mishnah are an exception to the general rule of Kasha Zomam Lasis Lachav, and therefore here we don't have the rule that you have to have Edus Shatiyochel Hazima, says the Noida Behuda. Therefore all the other halachas that also apply to Edus, that we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin, that Edom have to go through Bedikas and Chakiris, by these Edom that are mentioned in our Mishnah, are an exception to the general rule, and they won't require to be able to have to answer Chakiris and Bedikas either. That's the Noida Behuda's opinion. The Beis Halevi disagrees. The Beis Halevi holds that even if we'll say that the Edus of Ben Gerushim and Chalutza, the Edus of Golis, are an exception to the general rule, and even though normally you have to have Edus HaTiyochel Azima, here you do not have to have Edus HaTiyochel Azima, that doesn't change. That's only as far as the punishment goes. However, regarding the regular halachas that Edom always have to have Chakiris and Bedikas, here it won't be any different. The Ur V'Tumim uses this concept, at least this understanding of the second teretz of Tosfos, to answer another question. The question is, and this is an important halacha that's going to come up many times in our Masechta, and that is that the halacha is that Vasisim loikasher zomam lasis lachif v'loikasher osa. That let's say Edom Zomim said false testimony, and not only did they offer this false testimony, but Beis Din paskened based on that false testimony and carried out their judgment, and then afterwards we discover that these Edom are Edom Zamim, then the halacha of Edom Zamim doesn't apply. It's a Gzeres HaKosef in understanding the halacha. So asks the Urim V'Tumim, here, as soon as these Edom came and said that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, as soon as these Edom said he's Chayiv Golus, immediately, as soon as he said he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, he is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, if there is no contrary testimony. So why is this not considered a situation of Kesha Zomam V'loy Kash Osa? Answers the Urim V'Tumim, based on the second teretz of Tosfos, that here the regular halachas of Edom Zomim don't apply. Absolutely, if we're going to follow the regular halachas of Edom Zomim, the halacha of Asisim like Kasher Zomam v'loy Kasher Osa. But here we're not following the regular rules. The Torah teaches us that here, in these cases, they're an exclusion to the regular rule. Ask the Gemara, however, if so, instead of the Mishnah saying, Ketzad Edom Nasim Zoymimin, what the Mishnah should have said was, Ketzad Ein Edom Nasim Zoymimin Baile. How do they not become Edom Zoymimin? Because our Mishnah is giving an example where they don't become Edom Zoymimin. Void, at least the way Rashi explains the Gemara's question, Midik Tani L'Kamon. We're going to learn the Mishnah on Daf Heyom and Aleph, where the Mishnah describes the typical case of Edom Zomim. Says the Mishnah, Ava Amar Lahem, if the second pair Edom come to the first pair Edom and say to them, Heich Atem Edom, how could you say Edis? Shereba Oisiyoim Atem Heisim Manu B'Makim Pliny, you were with us at another place at that time, Hare Elu Zomim. So the way Rash explains the Gemara's question is that why that our Mishnah and the next Mishnah seem to be a redundancy. Both Mishnahs are teaching us the same halacha. Ritva isn't so focused, say, in explaining the Gemara's question as that there's a redundancy. Rather, his problem is that there the Mishnah says that they're Zoymim from the moment that they said Edis, because the other Edom said that you were with us. Here, we're not referring to a situation, the focus of our Mishnah is not the focus that you were with us elsewhere. The focus of our Mishnah is that they were Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So how could both Mishnayis be speaking, says the Ritva, as a description of Edom Zomimim, if the cases are so very different? Answers the Gemara, as we alluded to in our introductory remarks, Tana Hasim Koi. The Tana is referring back to the Mishnah we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin, that the Mishnah says, Kol hazoymim magdim loisim misa. Therefore, if Edom wanted to say something, which they would have caused that person to be killed, they get the misa that they wanted to impose. But Tosfos makes a very interesting point. Tosfos says, look at the words of that Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says, Kol hazoymim magdim loisim misa, which means that we a magdim, the first choice punishment we give to Edom Zomim is we give them the misa that they wanted to cause this person to receive. However, points out Tosfos, by using the word magdimim, the Mishnah is teaching us that if for some reason we can't give that misa, we'll give him one of the other Abba Misas Bezdin. As Tosfos, that we learned the Masechta Sanhedrin, that the Torah point specifies that by Ritzeach and by Goyal Hadam, there the halacha is that we can't give them the Misa that they're supposed to get. We give them any Misa. It seems to be by all other cases, we only give the Misa that they were supposed to get. No other Misa. So how will we reconcile that Gemara with what Tosfos just taught us? Answers Tosfos as follows. By Edom Zomim, we l'chatchila give them the Misa that they wanted to impose on the person they were saying testimony against. If for some reason we can't give that Misa, we give one of the other Dalad Misas Bezdin. However, if we will not be able to give any of the Dalad Misas Bezdin, then we won't give any Misas Bezdin. Whereas, by Ritzeich and Goyal Hadam, the halacha is that if we can't give any of the Dalad Misas Bezdin, then we'll give any Misa just to give Misa. What is an exception? Chut Mizayim Bez Koina Bayala. As we learned at great length in Masechta Sanhedrin, the halacha is the Torah says a bas ish koin. kisecha liznois es aviyahi mechaleles be'esh tisarev. Teaches us the Torah that a bas kayin, if she's mezana, gets sreifa. However, the man who had this adulterous relationship, he gets chenik like any other man who has an adulterous relationship. Teaches us the Mishnah. Chot mezoyim bas kayin ba'ala. So if there are eidim zoyim that say testimony against a bas kayin and her adulterer who had relations with her, shem agdim l'oisim misa, they don't get the misa of the bas kayin. El l'misa cheres, they get chenik, which is the misa of the that the adulterer, the man, would get. However, there's a very interesting machloikis Tosfos in the Rambam. Tosfos points out that there are situations that the adulterer will not get any misa. Tosfos gives two examples. One example is, let's say the adulterer is a katan, and we know that a katan is not chayiv misa. But if he had relations with a woman who's a gdoila, she's chayiv misa. Or let's say the adulterer is just not here. That the halacha is that the adulteress, the bas kayin, will be chayiv misa, but he is not here. What will be the halacha in such a situation? Will the eidim zayim, and then there are eidim zayim in such a case, will they still receive chenek? Or since there's no man receiving chenek here, they'll receive sreifa. And that, as I said, is a machloikis of the Rambam and Tosfos. According to the Rambam, the only time the Eidim Zayim get chenik is if there's an adulterer who's getting chenik. But if there's no adulterer who's getting chenik, then the halacha is that they're going to get sreifa. Tosfos, however, holds that the Mishnah, based on the Pesukim that we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin, teaches us, never is there a halacha that the Zayim in such a situation will get sreifa. They will always get chenik, even if there is no man getting chenik. There is no man that they wanted to say should get chenik here. So our Mishnah, says the Gemara, is a continuation of that Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Yesh Eidim Zayim Mecherim continues our Mishnah to teach us that Ein Oisim Bandem Hazama Kalikar. The regular halachah of Asisim Lekash Hazam Las Halachah will not apply for them. Rather, they're going to get Malkus Aboim. They're going to get Malkus Ketzat. What is the case? The case that we just discussed. Midim Anabish Ploini Shuben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Says the Mishnah, Ein Oimrim Yasiza Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Tachta. We don't say that the Eidim Zayim become a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Rather, Loikas Aboim, they get Malkus. Ask the Gemara Menohani Mili, from where do we indeed know that here we don't apply the regular halacha of Asisim Loikasha Zomam Lasis Lachas? Omer Bishu Ben Levi, Domer Kro, Vasisim Loikasha Zomam, Loi Veloi Lazaroi. Only they get punished, not their children. But if we're going to declare that they are considered chalolim, that they're considered ben grusha ben chalutza, then we're applying a punishment not just to them, but also to the children. The Achronim point out that the Gemara, even in the Havamina, never assumed that it would apply to the children that they already had. Never was it the Havamina of the Gemara that these children who were the children of these Eidim Zayimim that are not considered Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza were all of a sudden now by the father doing such an act, but the father's doing such an act, all of a sudden become considered Chalolim. The Gemara's question was only regarding the children that they will have. And the Gemara is quoting a pasuk, "Vasisim loikashazom laasos loy v'loy lazaroi." Ask the Gemara, so why can't we apply the concept of kashazomam, but say v'lifslu l'day v'loy lifslu lazaroi, that only they become chalolim, not their children? Answers the Gemara, that wouldn't be a fulfillment of kashazomam. Be'in on kashazomam lasis, the Torah requires that there be a kashazomam lasis, and it wouldn't be, because they said testimony about a person that he was a ben grusha ben chalutza, and if their testimony were true, it would not only affect the person that they said testimony about, it would also affect his children. So if we're going to want to apply properly kashazomam, it has to be something that's equal. And he was saying that their children should not be affected, therefore this cannot be a situation of kasha zomam. Ask Tosfos that we do have a situation. We still can find such a situation. The Torah says a Mitzri, first generation Mitzri ger, second generation Mitzri ger, their children, a first generation Mitzri, his child is still a Mitzri. But a second generation Mitzri, his child is not considered a Mitzri. So why can't we say that it's referring to a situation where somebody said that that somebody else is a Mitzri Sheni, that the halacha is that he should be considered a Mitzri Sheni? I say it shouldn't affect his children. It wouldn't affect his children anyway. Could the children of a Mitzri Sheni are considered full-fledged Jews? Answers Tosfos that it will affect his wife, because a regular Jewish woman is not supposed to marry a Mitzri Sheni. And just like we have a halacha that the kasha sa'amim lasas loy v'loy v'loy lezaroy, there's similarly a halacha kasha sa'amim lasas loy v'loy le'ishtay. But hada amakav chaymer, and the way the Ritva explains, it's not that Bapad is arguing with what Yeshua Ben-Levi says. He just wants to bring a Kavachoymer to support this halacha. However, other Rishonim and Achronim say that Bapad had a problem with Rabbi Yeshua Ben-Levi's limud, because maybe we could say that the pasuk is teaching us not to the children of the person he said testimony about, but maybe indeed when the Torah punishes him and his children. So that's why Bapada looks for a different reason for the din of our Mishnah. He says the halacha normally is that if a kohen marries a woman whom he may not marry, it doesn't affect him. It only affects his children. Certainly, in the case of our Mishnah, Habor L'Chalel, where somebody came to say, the Edom Zayman came to say that this person is a Ben Grusha V'Chen Chalutza, and his testimony was not effective. V'Loy Chilel, and then, certainly Shlo Yischalel, that it shouldn't have an effect on the children of these Edom Zayman. Maskula Ravina asks Ravina, if we're going to follow such a line of reasoning, im kein betalta teres edem zammim, there won't be any more edem zammim. Of course, as I said earlier in our shir, the halacha is that the din is that vasisim loy kasha zammim lasis lochif, kasha zammim loy kasha osa. That means, if the false testimony, Rachmanat son of these Eidim Zayman, indeed was effective, the halacha is that they don't get treated like Eidim Zayman. So, Umah HaSoikel, if somebody came to say testimony about somebody else that he did an Aveira for which he is Chayiv Misa, and before we could identify these Eidim as Eidim Zayman, the person got killed. The halacha is ein niskal, that we won't apply the din of kasha zomim, as I just said. Certainly in the case of habor liskal, where the eid only attempted to get the person who he's saying testimony about killed, but he wasn't successful in a din shloi sokol, but that of course we know is contrary to the entire concept of eidim zomim, because we only apply the concept of eidim zomim in the case of habor liskal, and not in the case of asoikal. So we see that this logic is flawed. Ella, we have to go back to Shnei Mekar, we have to go back to Yeshua Ben Levi's pasuk. This is the way Rashi explains. Ritva says that if somebody kills b'mezid, the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. If somebody kills somebody else b'mezid b'loy hasra, he's not killed here where he didn't kill anybody, certainly he should not be killed. Midamana, we learned further in the Mishnah. The next case in the Mishnah was that if they say testimony, Midamana Bishploni Shuchayiv Golis, they say testimony that this person is Chayiv Golis, the Aloch is, and then they turn out to be Edom Zomim, they don't get Golis. Manana Mili, from where do we know this halacha? Answers the Gemara, Amr Shlokish, Dama Kra, who Yonas Alach is Ha'erim, who only he, the murderer, Veloy HaZomim, not Edom Zomim. Rav Yochanan, again here, Rav Yochanan tries to say a kavachomer. He says the following kavachomer to prove the din of the Mishnah. Umahush asam maisa b'mezit. If somebody kills somebody else b'mezit, the halacha is ain a goyla. He doesn't go to goyles. Hain shloya asam maisa b'mezit. Then the edim and al mishnah who didn't do any act, all they did was just talk. Certainly ain adin shloya yigul. Ask the Gemara, Vihina Senes, but we could use this concept to turn around the argument. Because you know why? Hush asa b'mezid, if somebody kills somebody else b'mezid, we always look at Golos as a punishment. Golos is actually an opportunity. And therefore, hush asa b'mezid, if somebody kills somebody else b'mezid, like Gligli, the Torah doesn't give him the opportunity to have Golos, keich the loyal have like a kapara, in order that he shouldn't have a kapara. And furthermore, the Mefarshim point out it's not only that he shouldn't have a kapara. The halacha is that if somebody kills someone else, the goyel hadam of the victim may kill the murderer. But that is only if there is a, if he didn't kill b'shogeg. But if somebody killed b'shogeg and therefore legitimately ran to Ari Miklat, the goyel hadam can't touch him. However, if somebody kills b'mezid, he isn't afforded the protection of the Ari Miklat. Hain, however, the Adam Zomim, Shloy also Maisa Mezit, that even though what they did was a deliberate act, but it wasn't an act, it was only talking, maybe we could argue, Nami Liglu, they should indeed go to Golis. Maybe since what they did isn't that significant, because it isn't an act of murder, it's only talk of murder, we should give them the afford, we should afford them the protection of Golis, and we should afford them the Kapara of Golis. Keich del Havilu Kapara. So, on the contrary, maybe we should apply the din of Kasha Zomam in such a case. Ella, what must be the reason we don't? We have to rely on what Rish Lakish said, Hu Yonis, Hu V'loi Zomim. Amma Ula, says Ula, Remez L'Edim Zomim Minatara Minayim. Where do we know that there's a din of Edim Zomim Minatara? Ask the Gemara, what's this question? Remez L'Edim Zomim? V'ksiba, Sisala Kasha Zomam. The Pasha of Edim Zomim is an explicit Pasha. Ella, ask the Gemara Ula's question is, Remez L'Edim Zomim Shloikim Minatara Minayim. Where do we know that, as in the cases of our Mishnah, that we don't apply Kasha Zomam, rather we give Malkus the Ksiv? Because the Pasuk says, V'tzdiku as a tzadik, v'shiu as a rosha, v'hoya bin hakas a rosha. So Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk is referring to a situation where there is a case brought in front of Dayanim, v'tzdiku as a tzadik, and they say that the innocent person, there's a case between two people brought to Dayanim, and they say that the innocent person is innocent, and that the guilty person is guilty. But that's difficult to understand, because, asked the Gemara, Meshum v'tzdiku as a tzadik v'rishiyu sarasha, if they indeed declare that the innocent party is innocent, and that the guilty party is guilty, so why did the pasuk continue v'hoyah ben hakas rasha? Why is there malchus here? And furthermore, as the mefarshim point out, there is no chiv malchus when we're referring to a case of a din Torah between two litigants. Ella, the case of the pasuk says ula is as follows: Edim sheshiu as a tzaddik. We're referring to a situation that Edim came and said that this person who's truly innocent did something wrong. And then v'asu edim achrini. And then another pair of edim came and said v'tzdiku as a tzadik to mikara. The people that the original pair of edim said was a guilty individual is really an innocent individual, and therefore v'shavinu lahani rishoyim. And therefore they declared that the pair of edim who spoke about this innocent person, these edim, I really was showing, teaches us the Torah, then it's such a case for Hayim ben Hakas Rasha that these Edim will be Mechuyiv Malkus. Ask the Gemara, the Kepikalei Mloisana, why do we have to rely on the Pasuk of a Hayim ben Hakas Rasha to teach us that they're Chayiv Malkus? Why don't we rely on the Pasuk the Torah says, Loisana Bariacha Et Shaker, which prohibits one from saying a false testimony, and therefore these Edom who said false testimony should be Chayiv Malkus for this reason? Answers the Gemara, because that is a Lav She'en by Maisa. And every Lav She'en by Maisa ain't Loikin Alav. So for that we wouldn't get Malkus. If not that we had the Torah that says, for Hoya and Ben Hakos Rasha, that here we do give Malkus. Ask the Mefarshim. There's a Machloikus Rishonim. if testimony could be offered only orally, or testimony could even offered in writing. The opinion of Rabbeinu Tam is that testimony could be offered in writing. So ask the Mefarshim if testimony could be offered in writing. So how do we say that testimony is a lav shame by Maisa? It certainly is a lav shame by Maisa. Writing is a Maisa. Answer the Mefarshim. Even if we follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, the writing is considered valid, it's not the writing that's considered the testimony. Edom write their testimony, and then when Bezdin reads the testimony, that's considered when the testimony is being offered. Reading the testimony remains a lav shame b'maisa. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Dalad Varam Nemar b'Edom Zomimim. There were four cases regarding Edom Zomimim where the regular rule of Kashas Zomim Lasas Lachiv will not apply. First rule is that we learned in our Mishnah, Ein Nasin Ben Grusha Bechalutza. The next thing is the din that we learned in the Mishnah of the Ein Goylim L'Ori Miklet. The next thing is the Ein Mishalim Esakoyfer. The halacha is that if somebody's axe killed another person, and we're going to discuss this more soon, the owner of the axe has to pay koyfer. If we have a situation that Edom Zomim falsely testified that such an act happened, they don't pay koyfer. Veinim Karmbev Ivri. The halacha is that if somebody stole and he can't afford to pay, the halacha is that the person is sold as an Eved Ivri to pay for what he stole. Here too, if Edom Zomim said false testimony about somebody stealing, they will not pay, they will not be sold as an Eved Ivri. Meshim Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Kiva adds another case, Af Eim Shalom Pei Atzman. If two people walk into a Bezdin and confess that they were found to be Edom Zomim in another Bezdin, they don't have to pay the penalty, the punishment of Kasha Zomim that they would have had to pay. And explains the Gemara now the rules of this brisa. Ein Nasim Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. K'ramaron. The Gemara explained earlier the limud of Rishu Ben Levi, why we don't say they become Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Ein Goyim L'Ori Miklat. Also K'ramaron. The limud of Reish Lakish. Ein Mishalim Esakoyfer. Why do they not pay Koyfer? Mikasavri, because this Tana obviously holds, Kufr is Kapara. The payment of Kufr is a Kapara. Fahani, and these Edom, Lav B'nai Kapara Ninu, are not obligated for Kufr. Why? So I saw a number of explanations in Rishonim. One explanation is, because their axe didn't kill anybody. And the Chiv Kufr is only when somebody's axe killed somebody else. Another explanation is that it's only in the only time that there's a chiyuv koifer is where there wasn't a deliberate act. Here, there's a deliberate act here. The deliberate act is that they deliberately lied in saying their testimony. Where there's a deliberate act, there is never a chiyuv koifer. Ask the Gemara, Man Tana, who is the Tana that indeed holds the kufra kapara, that paying koifer is a kapara? Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Shmuel ben Shem Yochim ben Breikahi. It seems to be found in the opinion of Rav Shmuel ben Shem Yochim ben Breikahi. The Tanya. The Torah says, as I mentioned, that if somebody's axe killed somebody else, he pays koifer. For Nasan, Pidyon Nefshoi. But the question is, how do we evaluate, how do we assess the koifer? The main Nizik, Rav Shmuel holds, we look at the value of the victim. Rav Shmuel ben Shem Yochim ben Breikahi, the main Mazik. We look at the value of the Mazik. Says the Gemara, my laba hakamifki. What is the machlokes? The masover, the Tanakama holds kufr m'moina. The payment of kufr is a financial obligation, and therefore we have to look at the value of the victim. That's how much has to be paid. Well, masover, whereas Rabbi Shmuel holds kufr kapara, and we look at the value of the mazik because he's the one that needs the kapara, the owner of the animal. Amar Papa Loi, it could well be that everybody is agreement the kufr is kapara. What's the machlokes? Masover, but the nizik sheminin. Everybody will agree that a koifer is a kapara. The machlokes is simply how do we make the assessment? Tanakama hold, we assess it according to the value of the victim. Or masover, but the mazik sheminin. We look at the value of the mazik. What's the reason of the rabbanon? My tama the rabbanon that we look at the victim's value. Nema, the Torah says hashasa lamata. The Torah says regarding this kaifer obligation, im kaifer yushas alav, the Torah uses the words yushas, v'nem hashas lamala, the Torah uses the word hashasa regarding the halach of somebody hits a pregnant woman, causing her to miscarry. Malahalan, the Torah is explicit that in the case of the hitting of a pregnant woman, we evaluate with the nizik at the value of this woman, asks of the victim, afkan, since so we have gzeirah shava, that here too we look at the value of the nizik. Rav Shmuel, how will Rav Shmuel, who says we look at the value of the mazik, because Rav Shmuel says the pasuk says for nosen pidyon nafshik siv, the Torah clearly says nafshoy rabbanon, which clearly indicates the value of the mazik. How did rabbanon respond to Rav Shmuel's explanation? Rabbanon said id. Indeed, pidyon nafshik siv. The Torah uses the word pidyon nafshoy. But what the Torah is saying, yes, the mazik will have a pidyon, will have redemption. How will he have the redemption? Miyuk shaminon, but the nizik shaminon, by assessing the value of the nizik. The next case was, we said, the einim karm be'evid ivri, that the einim zomim are never sold as an evid ivri. Sovra from nuna meim, so from nuna assumed as following. Hanimili, hech de isla de day. Only in a situation where the person who they said testimony about had the means to pay if he was a ganef, the migui the ilim estaba, since even if he was found to be a ganef, he would not be sold, because a ganef is only sold as an evred when he doesn't have the ability to financially repay what he stole. Therefore, inhu nami loy mizdabnu. So too are the edim who wanted to say that he was a ganef not sold, if they're lawyers, if they turn into be Adam Zoyman. Aval hech the lesson of the day, in a case where the person that they spoke about doesn't have his own financial means, avgav the isla ledhu, even though the Adam Zoyman have the ability to pay, still mizdabni. And as the Mefarshim explained, they would be sold, and then they would have the ability to immediately redeem themselves. But they would have to go through the embarrassment of being sold as evid ivri. Ask the Gemara, v'leim relay, but why can't the Edom say to this person that they said testimony about, if you would have had the money, me have a mizdabnus, would have you been sold? Certainly not. Therefore, we who do have the money should not have to be sold, because the Torah requires kasha zomam, and it is kasha zomam. Just like if you had the money, you wouldn't be sold. We who have the money shouldn't have to be sold. When is this halacha apply that they're not sold as evid ivri, either if the person they said testimony about or they themselves have the ability to pay? But perhaps, suggests Rav Hamnuna, we're in a case that neither the person they said testimony about nor the edim have the financial ability to pay. Their halacha is that if they said this false testimony, since there's no way out, they should be sold. Only when a person himself stole and he doesn't have the ability to pay is there a halacha of being sold as an evid ivri. Are never sold as an evid ivri under any circumstances.